Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today. Coming up in this edition of the podcast, we're going to talk about some legends that have birthdays today, and they're the kind of legends that you dreamed about when you were a kid. No matter what the era, it's these kind of guys that you're going to like, and we're going to talk about them in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to your football history headlines, where today on this March 6th edition, we're going to talk about some great birthdays of Hall of Fame legends. And these are the kind of legends, let's just take us back to when we were youngsters, and you know, stars of the gridiron, no matter what area you grew up in. You know, I grew up in the mid-70s and, you know, in Western Pennsylvania. So gentlemen like, you know, Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Jack Lambert, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, those were the kind of heroes that I couldn't wait to just dream about, you know, being in the backyard, throwing the ball around, catching that winning pass, making that great tackle. I'm sure people all over the country in different eras had their great heroes that they looked up to. Well, we're going to travel back in time through a bunch of eras, and we're going to talk about some players that were those heroes to some young person out there at some point in time. And we're going to get to him right now. So let's go to our first one, and he is one of the biggest heroes, and it's March 6, 1898, St. Louis, Missouri. Jimmy Conzelman, the quarterback of the Great Lakes Navy Blue Jackets in 1918 and the Washington University of St. Louis Pikers in 1919, arrived in this world. Let me tell you a story about Jimmy. Jimmy Conzelman was an early NFL legend as he played 10 seasons as a quarterback, halfback, place kicker, and coach in the National Football League. He was traveled in the young league, and he spent playing times for many teams, including the Decatur Steelers in 1920, the Rock Island Independents from 1921 to 1922, the Milwaukee Badgers in the years of 1922 through 1924, the Detroit Panthers for the seasons of 25 and 26, and finally for the Providence Steamroller in the years of 1927 through 1929. He was also a team owner in Detroit, and as a player coach, led the 1928 Providence Steamroller to an NFL championship per the MOSportsHallOfFame.com. Yes, on December 16, 1928, the Providence Steamroller franchise won the National Football League championship title as they posted a record of 8-1-2. And in that era of football, the team with the best record at the end of the season was declared the champions. The Steamroller, according to an NFL article, had plenty of star players from that era of football on their roster. Men like Conzelman, the Cronin brothers, Bill and Jack, heavyweight champ Gus Sonnenberg at running back, and one of my personal favorites, the tailback George Wildcat Wilson. I still love that name. Providence had an awesome defense, too, as they allowed only 42 points to be scored on them all season long, including 5 complete shutouts. Now let me share the story of how Jim was part of another gridiron history on November 6, 1929 in Providence, Rhode Island. Just days after the 1929 stock market crash, signaling the start of the Great Depression, the Providence Steamroller became the first NFL team granted permission by the NFL to host a game at night under the floodlights that they scheduled at the Cyclodrome in Providence. The Steamrollers had enjoyed success in the season before as they won the 1928 championship, as we discussed a few minutes ago. But multiple key players had left for better paying jobs before the 29 season, so a gimmick such as a night game just might do the trick to bring back paying fans into the stands. The highest paid man on the team was Konzelman, who doubled as the quarterback and coach, and he made $292 per game salary. Now, due to the flooding in the Cyclodrome, the game against the Chicago Cardinals was moved to Kinsley Park so as not to lose revenue. The portable floodlights were moved to Kinsley, too, and the first night game in the NFL was played. The Steamroller lost by the score of 0-16, but they were satisfied because there were 6,000 fans that attended in the stands after a season of very low attendance because they lost most of their stars. In 1930, floodlights were permanently installed at the Cyclodrome, but the players received a pay reduction for the night games to help pay for the cost of floodlight installation. Imagine that if we told the players today, you know, on the Green Bay Packers, you know, Aaron Rodgers, hey, you got that Monday night football game. I'm sorry, we're going to have to take a cut in pay because we got to pay for the power to juice up these bad boys to so you can see. It sounds crazy now, but that's the way it was back then. Jim Konzelman served as a head coach for the NFL's Chicago Cardinals from 1940 to 1942 after his playing days, and again from 1946 through 48. I believe the war interrupted his coaching profession. He led the Cardinals to an NFL championship in 1947 and the Western Division championships in 47 and 48. He also was an executive with the baseball's St. Louis Browns from 1943 to 1945. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined the football legacy of Jim Konzelman as both a quarterback and a contributor in 1964 ceremonies at the Canton, Ohio Museum. If that's not a legend of football, I don't know what one is. Great story, great person. I wish I could have met him. We'll be right back with some more great stories of NFL legends right after you hear from this message from one of my partners on the Sports History Network.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of Pro Football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written 3 books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my 4th. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, and my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Past when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
And I'll tell you what, that Joe Zagorski tells some great football legendary stories in his podcast, Pigskin Pass. You got to check it out because there are some really talented historians of football and other sports on the sportshistorynetwork.com. I'm not kidding you. I tell you this every night, but you got to try it for yourself. Go over there, just take a couple samples podcast and just listen to them, and I'm sure you will be thrilled that you did and took my advice. So sportshistorynetwork.com, check it out. Now let's get back to our birthdays of Hall of Fame legends and their stories. On March 6, 1927, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the brilliant end of the Oklahoma Sooners from 1946 to 1949, Jim Owens was born. Jim had a bit of a delay in the start of his collegiate gridiron career, as according to the National Football Foundation, he served in the United States Navy Air Corps during the latter years of World War II. Owens was discharged just in time to be able to play for the Sooners in the 1946 season, and boy were they glad he made it. Jim's head coach for 3 of his 4 college seasons, Bud Wilkinson, is quoted as saying, "He's undoubtedly one of the best football players I've ever coached, both offensively and defensively. He is one of the best tight ends to play college football, period." That's a pretty big statement from a coach because Oklahoma in Owens' final 2 years had an amazing record of 21-1, going 10-0 in 1949 with a scoring ratio of 364 points for to 88 of those of the opposing team they faced. Jim had won All-America honors for his excellence on offense in that senior season of his. The NFF voters elected Jim Owens to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1982. Owens later went on to coach the University of Washington from 1957 to all the way to 1974. And the Husky teams of 1959 and 1960 won the Rose Bowl. So great career there too, as a player, as a coach, just a great all-around person, Jim Owens, another one that youngsters really looked up to, a great role model. Now we go to March 6, 1942, Dallas, Texas. The quarterback who played at SMU in 1961, then transferred to play at the same position in 1963 and 1964 for Tulsa, Jerry Rome, celebrated his birth. The NFF's bio on Rome tells how in 1963, Jerry was third in the nation in passing, as well as the third highest collegiate in total offense that year. He tossed many of those passes to the top wide receiver in the country, Howard Twilley. For the 1964 season, Jerry was credited with 32 touchdown passes, including 7-1 game against Louisville. Rome was an All-American selection and named as the Player of the Year by the Academy of Sports Editors, the Washington Touchdown Club, and the Newt Rockne Club, according to the NFF. He also received the Walter Camp Trophy, as was the runner-up in the Heisman vote, and Tulsa retired his number 17 jersey after the completion of his playing time there. The National Football Foundation carried the gridiron legacy of Jerry Rome into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1998. Oh, but wait, there's more. There's more legendary stories here, because we're going to go to March 6, 1943 in Houston, Texas. Ronnie Cavanaugh, the two-way center and linebacker from the University of Arkansas from 1962 through 1964, was born. The footballfoundation.org website says that Ronnie was a first-team All-American in his senior campaign in 1964 as he helped the Razorbacks take a share of the national championship that year. And on that team, there was a couple other notable players from that championship team of the Razorbacks of 64. Jimmy Johnson, a 2012 College Hall of Fame inductee as a head coach and a 2020 Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinee as a coach in the NFL. He played on that team, as well as his former boss, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. They were all on that team in the Razorbacks together. The College Football Hall of Fame included the name of Ronnie Cavanaugh in 2010. Ronnie was picked up in the AFL by the Kansas City Chiefs in 1965, as he spent 1 year with that franchise before playing out the remainder of his five-year professional career with the Houston Oilers. Great story there, too. And we have one more for you. And this one was born on March 6, 1950, another birthday boy, Birmingham, Alabama, the Crimson Tide running back from 1969 to 1971 season, Johnny Musso was born. Johnny was a straightforward bruising back, who was described in his NFF bio as a bulldozer type of a runner. Musso made the All-American selections in 1970 and 1971, and as a senior, he was fourth in the Heisman vote. The American Football Coaches Association gave him the Ernie Davis Award. Johnny Musso was selected by the National Football Foundation voters in the year 2000 to secure a spot in the College Football Hall of Fame. And boy, those were some great stories. I hope it brought back some memories for some of you. I hope it educated you on some great legends of the game with others. And we're just glad you joined us, because we are... But you belong here with us. You belong in some football history, and we love to share it with you. And so do many of my partners love to share the sports history with you and tell stories like we shared tonight from all genres of sports, again, on sportshistorynetwork.com. Now, I want to make sure that you either follow or subscribe, whatever your podcast provider does, to this podcast, because we bring it to you every single day of the year. And there's going to be times where we bring two podcasts out in one day. We're doing that because we want to bring football history, and we want to preserve those memories of great heroes like we shared with you tonight. Tomorrow, on March 7th, we're going to have a March 7th football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers for that day. But we're also going to release the greatest number 13s in the NFL. Yes, all the players, top players in the NFL that wore the number 13, we're going to talk about them tomorrow, and we're going to rank them. It's going to be a solo event. It's just going to be my voice. Sorry about that, but we're going to have a great conversation anyway. Then coming up next week, we're going to talk the number 14s. We're bringing back Joe Ziemba, you know, the great historian. He's going to talk number 14s with us, and it's a great story teller he is, and some great discussions we're going to have on those number 14s. You don't want to miss that. Coming up right after him, we're going to go back to back with Aaron Harris of the Football Odyssey podcast on Sports History Network. And Aaron is going to share with the number 15s next week. Then a couple nights later, we're going to bring him back for the number 16 jerseys, top players. We're going to come up with a top 10, top 12 list, wherever we come up with, just so we can tell you the top players that wore that jersey. And it is an exciting time. It is a fun time. You're going to have a great time, bring back some memories of some legends, and maybe learn something about some new ones that maybe you didn't know about. I mean, I sure do every time I talk with these guests. You know, they bring some great insight. We have some of the best people coming on this podcast, and really excited about that. And we have many more to come, because we're going to go all the way to 99. We started with zero. You know, we've gotten up through 12 so far, covering 13 tomorrow. We're going to cover them all, folks. We're going to hit all 99, and it's going to be pretty fun. So, hope if you want to get in touch with us, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @pigskindispatch, our Facebook page, Pigskin Dispatch. I think you get the idea. Our website, pigskindispatch.com. You want to see all of our podcasts? You can go to pigskindispatch.com/podcast. You'll see them all right there, all 186 of them right now so far. And like I said, it's growing every day. And something else that's growing every day is that sportshistorynetwork.com. Make sure you check that, because there's new podcasts coming on every day, new hosts, and new podcast series coming on every day. You don't want to miss it. Get on that train while it's moving fast, because it's going to keep going. This is a growing thing, and it's going to be real big. You want to make sure you get on the ground floor of that. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.